Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths.
But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Welcome to .com and the Den Mondays. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, my stablemate from Wolf Den, Richard Irvin. Rich, we thought we'd have Group 1s to review. We will give a Group 1 performance, but unfortunately, the Group 1s we were going to review didn't happen.
Yeah, the kickback booted the meeting, but we will give a Group 1 performance. Absolutely.
No doubt about it. We've got some really good performances at Caulfield as well to talk about. And what we did see from the races at Eagle Farm, but the abandonment will kickstart our straight six.
The straight six.
All right. Yes, the big talking point coming out of Saturday was the fact that the races were called off after race five due to poor visibility. Now, we know that the Eagle Farm track's had its issues over the journey, Rich, but it was the visibility for the jockeys that was the main concern on Saturday. And if the jockeys can't see, they can't race.
Yeah, I was a bit chastised in the Den. I predicted that the meeting would definitely go ahead. I didn't factor in the kickback, and you can see some of the vision now as the jockeys come in from the last race, which is the Size Produce, and you can just tell, like, they obviously would have been riding along and just wouldn't have been able to see the kickback and the clock.
Filthy little buggers they are. Filthy little buggers.
Look at Craig Williams. Like, you can tell he just, you know, he's just saying this is just no good. So
looks like he's just overindulged in an Easter egg, like my four-year-old.
Look, understand why it got abandoned. I mean, they hate to abandon Group 1 races, but just looking at J-Mac here, why is he so clean, Rog?
Has he showered? Has he just had... Or is it because, you know, his wife works with Channel 7 coverage and they think makeup girls going, hey, James, go. Well, just clean you up before you go on camera, son.
Possibly he grabbed a towel before he came in and wiped his face, or maybe he was on the United States in that race, he was out wide, so maybe he didn't get as much kickback, but... Anyway, he didn't seem particularly keen to race on. And so we moved to, what's the plan now, Roger? We moved to Wednesday. We've got the Fred Best then.
Well, that's the thing. So we've got a triple header of Group 1s on Saturday, the Kingsford Smith and the Derby and the Oaks. Now, it's usually a pretty flat day, really, when you just have the Oaks. But so this does make for a great Saturday this week. But it's going to have some impact on the Stradbroke the week after. Now, the Fred Best, as you mentioned, that's going to run Wednesday. So the three-year-old who wins the golden ticket will get 4 days less to prepare for the Stradbroke than original, but 3 days more than any horse coming out of that Kingsford Smith. And look, connections of Jolly Star, Benedetta, Bizzusto, you know, they need to decide whether they want to back up on 7 days. Bizzusto, now I spoke to Mytho, who was just drinking piss over there in Portugal. And I said, what are you going to do with Bizzusto? Do you go to the Fred Best now? Because he was a dual acceptor. Yeah. And he said, well, ideally, I'd rather go to the Fred Best and have an extra few days to prepare for the Stradbroke, because he doesn't need to win the Fred Best. He's in the Stradbroke.
Yes.
Which is why they decided they'd go to the Kingsford Smith. So they paid up the late acceptance fee. But now the better option is probably going to be running the three-year-old race. And so he's just waiting to hear from Annabelle. But that was his preference, is that the Bizzusto runs Wednesday instead of in the Kingsford Smith, where he would have been a live chance. Now, the other big one, of course, is the fillies who were planning to run in the Derby on Saturday and then back up into the Oaks, they now can't do that. So they have a decision. Well, they don't. The connections have a decision to make as to whether they run in the Derby against the boys or the Oaks against the girls. Now, it's a bit of a difference in distance. So you've got 2,200 metres for the Oaks, 2,400 metres for the Derby. You would think Belle de Tell, for instance, would probably want further. So you'd say she'd probably go to and stick with the Derby. Feminile might go to the Oaks. As you can see, Belle de Tell is a $6 favourite alongside Statuario, who was the runner-up in the SA Derby for the Queensland Derby. Feminile, who won the Oaks, is $7.50. Now, what's she going to do? We don't know. She sits there with King of Thunder. Firm Agreement, who has a really good chance in the Derby, $13. So there's a lot of things to play out.
Belle de Tell was scratched too.
Exactly. Yeah. So they all come back into the field. The barrier draws all stay the same. Horses of a scratch come back in, Yeah, like I said, the emergency thought the they got a run, don't get a run. Filia, who was fantastic in the Rough Habit, I think it was, a couple of weeks ago, $3.80 favourite. Benegill, $6. So there's going to be a lot to play out still. You know, obviously we're doing this show on Monday, so connections are still making those decisions. So we can't give it a whole heap of information, but to say there are a lot of ramifications, certainly with the Stradbroke.
Yeah, I would have pushed the Oaks back to Stradbroke Day. And then another thing with the Fred Best is Angel Capital, you would assume, will go back in to the Fred Best on Wednesday. So that'll make Bizzusto's job even harder.
I would have just pushed everything back a week. We've seen it done before.
Yeah, I mean, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's, for every action, there's a reaction. So anyway, this is what we've got. And yeah, it'll be a great day next Saturday. Looking forward to it.
Yes. Now, we've got, obviously, there were some races run on Saturday. And one of those was the Lord Mayor's Cup. Now, the last two Melbourne Cup winners have run in the Lord Mayor's Cup. Without a Fight, won it in 2023, then won the Q22, won the Corfu Cup, won the Melbourne Cup. Knight's Choice ran fourth in it last year and then, of course, won the Melbourne Cup at any old odds. Now, I'm not saying I would lock in New Endeavour for the great race, but shit, it was an impressive win. Lengthening at the end, but he's only run beyond 2,000 once. Last up fifth, and that was last up fifth at Gosford Cup, which is 2,100 metres. So yes. I don't think he's going to get 2 mile, but this was a nice win.
It was a nice win. And Adrian Bott after the race was saying, well, I don't know about the Q22. Of course, the Q22 on Stradbroke Day that Faulkner Park won last year is over 2,200 metres. So if Adrian Bott's a bit wary about him getting 2,200 metres, I'd imagine 3,200 metres is not in the picture. I don't think anyone even remotely thinks that he's going to win the Melbourne Cup. We're all just having a bit of fun with it. But I thought it was a good win. I thought Tavi Time just floundered a little bit in the wet. But yeah, New Endeavour's a nice looking horse.
Forgive runs everywhere, Rich. I mean, what horse wasn't going to... Any horse that doesn't like... Even a wet tracker. That was a track on Saturday where a wet tracker isn't necessarily going to like it. And we, as I mentioned earlier, like the way that the Eagle Farm track's not exactly... you know, the gold standard of tracks. They've had a lot of issues over the years after the renovation. So, I mean, the whole meeting is forgive runs everywhere, but take nothing away. It was a nice win by New Endeavour.
Yeah. No, got through the ground. And that's when I was listening to a lot of review shows yesterday. The main point everyone said is don't read too much in the format of these races, of the races on Saturday. We move
one horse. Yeah, one horse, I think, whose form we can read a little bit into. Now, I'm not sacking anything behind it. But I think we saw a really nice horse in Cool Archie. It was certainly a horse that I was on Aerodrome, but I had Cool Archie as an each way chance because I thought double figure odds was way overs. Now this is a horse, and the commentator, the caller,
about to explode here, isn't it? Here he goes, about to go. Yeah, said bang.
Just keeps winning. I mean, he's a genuine mudder. But as Chris Muntz actually said on RSN this morning, he said, don't think that he's just a wet tracker because he has won on a good four. Cool Archie, and he just gets through all types of grounds. Now, he went through those horrible conditions with ease, and it goes on to the JJ Atkins. He'll probably be hoping for a wet track there because he handles it better than what his rivals make. But this is a very impressive horse. He's gone, I think he's gone 1,200, 1,400.
Yeah, he's won all the big 2-year-old race up in Queensland, 4 on the trot. And it's a nice story too. So Martin Harley rides it. Max Whitby's one of the owners in it. And as Cool Archie's progressed through the grades and got better, a lot of jockeys have come in and said, let me start riding him. And Max Whitby and the other connections have said, no, leave Martin on. He's doing a great job. Why would you change your winning combination? So that's nice to see. And I saw an interesting point on the Den. Someone said, if this horse was in the Navy of Coolmore or the Royal Blue of Godolphin, everyone would be talking about Cox Plates and this and that. Because you look back last year, like this Cool Archie profile is very similar to broadsiding. Obviously, huge boom on broadsiding. But no one really mentions Cool Archie in any kind of Cox Plate conversations or Caulfield Guineas or all that kind of thing. Not to say.
Well, if he comes out and wins the JJ in impressive style, then he may. Now, Chris Muntz thinks he'll get 2,000 metres, but a mile is certainly his sweet spot.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like you said, he does profile a bit like a broadsiding, and we'll see if he can come out. If he destroys him in the JJ Atkins, as Rain Man will tell you, when he jumps on for Cook the Book. JJ Atkins is the best 2-year-old form race in the country. So,
well, let's just say if he wins the JJ Atkins, is he 2-year-old of the year? He might well be. It's a pretty thin year. Like who is you got? Like
well, it's the thin year. It's a thin year because we've had a lot of good ones. I don't think it's a thin year in terms of the thin level of talent. I think there's a lot of talent amongst the 2-year-old ranks. It's just that it's been so spread out over the last 4 or 5 months. I think there's some really nice prospects coming into their 3-year-old season.
If he wins the JJ Atkins, Roger, is he your 2-year-old of the year?
Probably because, as Rain Man will tell you, the best 2-year-old form race is the JJ Atkins. But the way he's just gone through the grades and distances and, you know, he's tractable on all types of surfaces, he's an impressive beast. Mm. Let's head to Melbourne. Let's head to Caulfield because this is where the injury-plagued Neonce reminded us all of the talent that she possesses. And look, you would think that Graham Begg wants to target something better in the spring. She was tagged as a potential Oakley Plate horse in the autumn, but she had a head injury that ruled her out of that. Now, she clearly looked the best horse in this race. Daniel Moore rode her as such too. He knew what he had underneath him. I don't imagine she'll have too many more runs. I think actually she might even be going to the paddock. Definitely. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, she's going for a freshen up. And yeah, you're right about Daniel Moore. Like, he could have got further back. And, you know, he could have been one of those tragedies beaten at Crawford like we often see. But he rode it like she was a good thing and it paid off in the end. Heard an interesting point from Brad Bishop on RSN yesterday. He said that she's the kind of horse who will get in really nicely to something like the Moyer or the Manicato. There's such a huge focus on the Everest up in Sydney that those Group 1 races down in Melbourne earlier on the spring often thin out a little bit, and she would profile really, really well for that. I thought that was interesting. I thought Cleo Cat was really solid again, just ran into one better, and they should just keep pushing on with Cleo Cat. She could well go and win, you know, two or three more sprint races over the winter. And the star of last year's Winter Sprint Series recommendation, thought he was pretty good first up, big weight, but I heard that he has pulled up a little bit lame, so I don't know what his future looks like.
Lameness, and we think that adds a little bit more merit to the performance. But in terms of Nyance, she's now won three stakes races in a row. That was the best of them. That was the best field she's beaten. Cleo Cat, as you mentioned, she's flying. She just ran into a better one. And you thought Aviatrice was a big show in the Sangster. So it's not like, you know, she's gone out there and she's beaten some mugs on a winter Saturday. Although it wasn't winter. It was the last day of autumn. But it was a very impressive win from a horse I like. Graham Begg, I've said many times, he's such a great trainer. So
seems like a great bloke too.
Yeah, ripping bloke, ripping trainer, and his strike rate is phenomenal. So if you follow the Begg stable, you'd probably be doing quite well on the punt as well. Another stable, albeit they have a lot more numbers, but they go very, very nicely, and that is the Lindsay Park team, the Hayes boys, and they might have another very nice one on their hands. Medea has been a bit of a late bloomer. She debuted in March, so deep into her three-year-old season. She was narrowly beaten at 1,200 there on debut, but then a dominant winner at 1,400, start number two. Similarly, they won a three-year-old handicap over 1,400 next up, and now a winner at the mile. Now, this was against her own age and sex and a benchmark 78, but that is a really nice progression for a soon-to-be mare, and that is one thing I think the Hayes stable do.
Point out the
really
second horse
too,
Rogers. We watched them here. Just keep talking, but point out the second horse. Yeah, that's I Only Wish. It comes on really strong as well. I just want viewers to see that.
Yes, but as mentioned, on the winner, she's stepping through a grade nicely. The Hayes boys do step their horses through the grades nicely, and she, as we've heard, is going to be targeting some better races in the spring. And it's going to be really interesting to see where the ceiling is, because I think sometimes we do get carried away and a horse bobs up over the winter and you go, oh, geez, really nice win, really nice horse, but then didn't really beat much. And when the good horses really come to play in the spring, they get found out a bit. But like I say, she's only had, four starts, and some really nice wins. And I think they're going to be targeting, as you've noted, the matriarch, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
Lead up to it.
But it was a pretty dominant win. And as I went to the line there, I Only Wish was good. Didn't get as clear running at the top of the straight as Medea did. But Luke Curry hardly touched Medea. He was sort of, you know, cuddling her along. So it was a pretty emphatic win. And as you said, she's going target towards the matriarch, which is the same path as her half-sister Zaidani won. Another interesting thing too is she was possibly going to go up for the Fred Best. But the Hayes boys decided to dodge that, and they dodged the proverbial bullet, didn't they?
In a way, yes, she's come out, and I mean, the prize money's a bit different, but still a Saturday winner. It's still 130,000. So nice nonetheless for Connections. Now, I can't say I agree with where the Sandown Cup is now placed on the racing calendar. It does look like it's been left there to die. A Sunday, it has to be at Sandown. A Sunday, and there was jumps races, and then you come out and. But there was no doubting the performance of the winner. Diwali won a benchmark 58 at Maui three starts back. Here he is in the listed 3,200-meter race. And, I mean, look, it's not like he won by six lengths, but he basically pissed in here. The way he sort of went around him, charged up, and by the 100, he was pulling away, and he was really, really strong to the line. And Gavin Bedgood, geez, he gets the best out of some horses that most people think aren't that good.
Yeah. And they were absolutely dawdling. So obviously it's a 3,200-meter race, so they want to try and, you know, burn as few carrots as possible. But then Linda Meach, I think it was about the halfway point, said enough of this, and then went to the lead. And that sort of set the cat amongst the pigeons. And then it was a bit of a war of trying to get to lead. And it just set things perfectly up for a horse like Diwali, who just sat back and let it all happen in front and then just was a sitting shot. All the other horses were sitting shot, and he just came out and went bang. It'll go on the Dean Lester Flemington Cup, a 2,800-meter race, on July the 19th, so that's 6 weeks away. That'll be its grand final. They might have a pipe opener in a 2,500 meter race at Flemington at sometime between now and the Dean Lester. So yeah, he's not aiming too high. Gavin Bedgood with his horse, and hopefully he gets another couple of results with him.
Yeah, he doesn't need to aim too high because he tends to find the right race for the right horses. And also he buys a lot of these horses so cheap and just comes out and wins nice prize money. He'd be a great trainer if you don't have a lot of cash behind you just there to get a nice horse that's going to be a good, honest performer. He'd be the right trainer to go with. It's time now to check in with our two mates on Cook the Book.
Cook the Book.
Okay, time now for Cook the Book. And joining us, of course, from Ladbrokes is Tom Hackett. And from Wolf Den, Kingsley Bartholomew. Tommy, Caulfield is often a favourites track, and it certainly proved that way on Saturday. There were favourites getting up all over the shop, but in race three in particular, it was a photo finish and Big Swinger nailed Mytho's horse, whose name I can't remember, on the line. I'd imagine every man and their dog was on Big Swinger. Oh, Flyer was the Rosemont horse, was going around at about 20 to 1. I'd imagine that was a fair old shift between how the book looked post-race.
Yeah, a big shift in the results there, Rog, and it pretty much summed up the day at Caulfield. It was a bloodbath for the book at Caulfield, like the old-fashioned meetings at Caulfield. It's been a bit of a happy hunting ground for the book lately at Caulfield, but certainly not the case on Saturday. And you're absolutely right, big swing there between Big Swinger and Flyer. Big Swinger was a losing result of $226,000. Flyer would have been a winning result of $245,000. So just shy of a $500,000 a turnaround there that the punters were on the right side of. And as I said earlier, that was a sign of things to come later in the meeting as well.
But I'm guessing in the last race, now this one is very close to my heart because Dirty Grin was the last leg of a four-leg multi for me, and it also was in my quaddy. Namesake was not, and Namesake got up by 0.02 of a length. I'm guessing that swing that cost me a stack was very nice for Ladbrokes.
Yeah, this is basically the one result all day at Caulfield that did go our way. Dirty Grin was very well backed. It was a losing result of $342,000. Namesake, a winning result of $237,000. So another $500,000 turnaround there. And after the day we'd had in the lead up to that at Caulfield, we honestly needed it at that point because before that it had been the punters basically getting every photo finish possible.
Kings, a favourite stay at Caulfield, but we were talking just a little bit off air, and unfortunately you didn't have a great day, which means you weren't on the favourites because, it was, as Tom said, it was just like the old times there at the Heath.
Yeah, no, I stayed out a lot of favourites. I stayed out of quite a few races, but I was on a few seconds there, and it wasn't my day at all on Saturday. They were getting off the fence a bit around the country and wasn't suiting those on-pace horses, which I like to gravitate towards a fair bit. So, no, I did my money Saturday, but they're on again next week.
When you look at Eagle Farm and the races that did happen up there, do you just sack every little bit of information out of it going, well, you know, even there's good horses that just wouldn't go a yard on the ground we copped on Saturday?
Yeah, no, exactly. I've actually stopped betting on heavy tens when it gets really wet like that. So I'm just having a look at heavy tracks. I'm also having a look at when rain is falling, which I haven't got data on actually, when the rain's falling during the meeting. And the other thing which I'm going to have a look at this week is when the inside of the track's off, and even on slow surfaces, when the inside of the track's off and they're getting sort of 5 and 6 off the fence, just from me watching race, I don't seem to back a lot of winners in that. So I want to do some testing this week to see if actually I am profitable when those conditions are around.
I know you had a good bet on something in Adelaide, a shorty that did get rolled. And Tom, that was the theme of the day. Yeah, the shorties were getting up at Caulfield. But in South Australia, I went through it and it was like $1.70 favourite, $1.40 favourite of Stokesy's got rolled in the first. That was really well backed. And it just seemed a theme throughout the day. I think only two favourites won. And a lot of really well backed things were nowhere near it.
Yeah, all those things considered, I think I agree with your point, Rog. If you looked at the bare results, you would have thought it was a complete fill-up for the book at Morpheville, but not really the case. It was still, I'm not saying it wasn't a winning day for the book at Morpheville, but punters did still find themselves sort of on the positive end of a few of those results, even with short price favourites getting rolled. So certainly not definitely not a train wreck for the punters at Morpheville, and certainly not enough for us to make up for everything that we lost at Caulfield.
And what was the impact like when we had the washout or the abandonment at Eagle Farm? I'd imagine there wasn't a lot of action early, obviously cost late, so turnover as a whole would have been down. But I suppose the counter argument to that is you'd imagine it's going to be a massive turnover this Saturday with three group ones, because Oaks Day is probably the flattest day of the Queensland Carnival.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Rog. I think Oaks Day, I think if there is a weekday on the Stradbroke season, I think for mine it is probably Oaks Day. So instead it becomes, well, I don't think it's arguable anymore. It becomes the big day of the carnival. Kingsford Smith Cup, Ludbrokes Queensland Derby, and a Queensland Oaks. It's going to be a salivating program on Saturday. But I do feel for the Brisbane Racing Club and Racing Queensland, because they've just had no luck whatsoever with the weather. And then you wake up on Sunday morning after Saturday was just a terrible day up here in Brisbane. But on Sunday morning, you woke up to clear blue skies. And if the races were on yesterday, they would have got through without a problem. If they were on Friday, it would have been a little bit overcast, but you get through, no worries. It's Saturday was probably the only day all week where they would have had any problems. So it's bad luck for the club, but I think they've made the right decision putting together a super Saturday. I think it's going to be a huge Saturday out there at Eagle Farm, and I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully, we do get a bit of drying weather and we get back to a track that's a soft range. We know that Eagle Farm is a surface that does dry quite well. So I think there's every chance we do get back to a track that is in that soft range.
Kings, we're going to have horses that are going to have to back up from the Kingsford Smith in the Stradbroke 7 days instead of 14, which they originally planned. Is that when, if you're doing the form for a race like that, do you just go, wow, that's a massive red flag, because these horses did not intend to be on a 7 day back up into the feature of the carnival?
Yeah, I don't know. It's often a plus, a horse nice and fit and ready to go in the Stradbroke. It depends on the horse a lot. Like we saw what Via Sestina did with the Gallop and came up and won the Cox Plate. So I'm interested to see if Belle Dattel backs up after being scratched, lame, whether Belle gets a run on Saturday, whether it goes back in or not.
They are allowed to go back in. Whether she does is the other question, and where she runs is the big one as well. I've got to ask Tom, I alluded to it when me and Rich were talking before about the performance of Cool Archie. I know you love the JJ Atkins, and this horse does look or profile very similar to, say, a broadside, and he looks like he's got the JJ Atkins at his mercy, and would excite you as to what he'll have in store in his future if he can win that race as well and cap off all the features.
It just keeps winning, this horse. Every time the bar is raised, it's able to step up to the challenge. And Chris Munce compared it to a horse that he rode during his career, Sizzling, which won a JJ Atkins in impressive fashion, ended up with Chris Wilder in Sydney as well. So every year, without fail, the Ludbrokes JJ Atkins does throw up a horse that does go on to be a proper contender in the Group 1 races during the spring. And I think this year will be no exception.
I knew you'd be excited. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time, and we will chat to you next Monday on Cook the Book.
Sneak peek.
All right, let's check in with this Saturday. As we mentioned, it's going to be a super Saturday, because that cliche isn't worn out by any stretch. Up at Eagle Farm, three Group 1s on the program. Flemington, though, the Winter Series heats and the Vobis Gold Mile. So some nice racing at Flemington, but have a look at that.
Listed racing or better, Rog.
Yep, so you've got the Derby, the Kingsford Smith Group 1, the Queensland Oaks, so three Group 1s there, Magic Millions National Classic, Morton Cup. I had a corporate box booked for an Oaks Day about 10 years ago up in Queensland, courtesy of Ladbrokes when I was working for them, and it was Oaks Day, and it got washed out, and they just shifted the Oaks to the week after. So there was precedent there. We just ended up at the Regatta Hotel and probably drank as much as we would have if we were in a corporate box. But
Ladbrokes still pay for it.
Absolutely. I had a company card.
How do I get a company card?
I guess miss a company card. Also, but I don't really go out anymore. I'm not the most social butterfly. Those were the days, though. So, yes, a magic day to just sit in front of the box. If you're not going to – I mean, if you live in Brisbane, get down to Eagle Farm. It'll be a cracker. But, and the weather looks like it's going to be turning quite nice by about Wednesday. So it should be a great day there at Eagle Farm. But if you're just sitting at home, well, you've got some really nice races all over the shop.
And we're going to be doing a Saturday session. We did a Saturday session on Saturday. It was a little bit underwhelming, half-baked, but that wasn't our fault. We'll be doing one for this Saturday. We'll plenty to look at there. And we're also going to chuck in a couple of Greyhound races, because you got the Flying Amy Classic from the new Q2. There you go, Rog. You up to date with your Greyhound racing?
Not at all. Interesting that you were half-baked during a Saturday session. I wouldn't have suggested going live with that. But if that's entirely up to you, Rich, hopefully you'll be more equipped to be on camera this Saturday, and I look forward to tuning in around the big races.
Good on you, Rog. See you soon.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.